Thank you very much for that beautiful segue and introduction. You guys always show up, each and every one of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. As do all of you. You're here. You showed up, and you continue to. My sons today couldn't show up. They woke up not feeling so good under the weather, and we got the grandpa to come in and do the duty. Maybe both the duty and the duty. And I was like, are they, you know, my oldest son always protests. I'm like, are they protesting? They don't want to come here. I got worried. And then he's like, man, I'm going to miss potluck. They got the best food there. And I was like, all right, we got a hook. We got the hook in them. There's something to have them keep coming back. That's what we got to do. Keep coming back to our faith. My wife couldn't be here either. She was scheduled a platform because she is showing up for a friend of ours who is really struggling, who's going through crisis right now. And I just had to acknowledge that because that's important. It's about showing up. It doesn't matter what it looks like, because often it looks different than you think. It's about showing up. And we're responsible for showing up. There is an I smack dab in the middle of the word faith, which means I, which means you. Each and every one of us need to show up on a daily basis. And it's about how we show up, you know, how we see things, how we come into things. It affects our perception, how we're looking at things. Everything is all related. It's all integrated. And we're always searching for that divinity, that divine, something to bolster us, something to show us the way. And it can be in anything, the smallest little thing, the most grandiose thing, the seed or the mountain. And while I was prepping for this talk today, I had the funniest thing that kept showing up for me. What I judge is a masterpiece of prose and verse. And so I'd like to share that inspiration with you all right now. Some of you may know it. I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. But I got to think twice before I give my heart, because I know all the games you play, because I play them too. Oh, but I need some time off from that emotion, time to pick my heart up off the floor, because when love comes down without devotion, baby, I'm showing you that door, because you got to have faith. Leah's looking at me like, what? And you might be asking yourselves, did I just quote the 80s pop smash hit by George Michael, Faith? The answer is yes. Yes, I did. Am I going to base that? Is that the basis for a metaphysical talk today? Yes. Yes, it is. Have I lost my mind?
Yes.
Debatable. It's debatable. You know? But this is supposed to be fun. Life is supposed to be fun, and oftentimes we take it so seriously. I know I do. God's got a sense of humor. We're the ones that tend not to have it. You know, personally, in society and life, we get so bent out of shape. It's like laugh. Laughter is the best medicine. You know that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? That is science, my friends. And so, you know, we're always asking, God, you know, I wish I could touch you. I wish I could see the Spirit, if I could touch the Spirit, you know? We're always questioning, crying, reveal yourself to me, show us. So I want you to do me a favor. You do me a favor? I want you to touch your body, or your neighbors if they're into it. That right there is a proof of God. You guys, all of us, every single one of us, is an expression and an extension of God. We're here. We forget that sometimes. We get out of center. We get out of the seat of self, and we go, oh, but it's like, if you can just touch yourself, you are effectively touching God. We are God. We forget that. Forget that from time to time. And like George Michael says, everybody has got a body. But a lot of times we've got to think twice before we give our heart away, right? Because that thing happened, or we're judging, we're upset, you know? And we base something that comes our way, it comes down the pike for us as good or bad. We've got a judgment about it. And we really have no basis in the present moment to do that. Well, I mean, we do. It's our minds. It's our personal minds, because we often base the present moment on the past events that have happened. And we use that to shape, we use that as a distorted lens to look at everything through. You know, something comes up and we're going to judge it. Oh, I don't want that. It's not good. And we need to not do that. We need to take ourselves out of that force field that keeps us bound in the past and just have equanimity about the present, right? Because we don't know, we have no frame of reference to what is happening to us right now is going to mean in the end game, in the long game. We don't know. We have judgments about it, but we don't know, and it skews our reality. I'm going to paraphrase this. There's this ancient, I guess it's a proverb, it's a story about a Chinese farmer. And if some of you guys have been good, you might have seen it on the daily meditation last week. It is the Chinese farmer. So this farmer had a horse. Horse ran away. His neighbors come over like, we're so sorry that your horse went missing. Oh, that must be bad. He's like, maybe. A few days later, the horse comes back and it brings four or five other horses with him. Now not only does the farmer have, he doesn't have one horse, he's got multiple horses. A few days later, the farmer's son is riding the new horse, one of the new horses trying to break it in, and he's violently thrown to the ground, resulting in a broken leg. All the neighbors come over to commiserate. We're like, oh my God, we're so sorry. That must be so painful. Your son is hurt. To which he replied, maybe. The very next day, the local army rolled through with conscription officers trying to get all able-bodied men signed up in the army. They passed his son by because he had a broken leg. Maybe. It's not good. It's not bad. It's that center line. It's that Tao. But it's hard for us to do because we know all the games you play because we play them too, right? You know, we have all these judgments. Play these games with ourselves. We get stuck in this spiral of fear, this lack consciousness, sometimes this victimhood consciousness. And it gets us all askew. We're not able to be present. And we create these conflicts in our lives. I just started my first SEE class on my way to becoming a licensed Unity teacher. Maybe. We'll see what happens, but I'm on the path, right? Maybe. And the class I'm taking now is called Eye of the Storm. And it is written by Gary Simmons. He is a licensed Unity teacher and minister. And, you know, the eye of the storm, it's got this double meaning, this duality. The eye of the storm, meaning we are responsible for the storms, the conflicts that swirl up in our lives. But also the double entendre of, you know, the center, the eye of the storm is always the most calm. So if we can effectively touch that and understand that when inevitably the world starts swirling around us, events we can't control happen, we stay seated in the center, in the self. And he lays out the four winds of conflict, what he calls them, which is separation, misperception, competition, and defensiveness. And all of those show it for me, as I'm sure they do for you if you really are honest with yourself. But the one thing that stuck with me so much that, you know, I haven't thought about is misperception. Misperception is like the shadow on the wall that we don't really understand, so we manifest and make it into this really scary monster. We don't know what's really going on. But it's not really the truth because we're so sensitive. You know, for me, I take everything so personally. I tend to, right? And it's not understanding what's coming before me. It's, you know, not the good or bad. It's just the experience. And we tend to jump on both sides. And it leads to misperception. It leads to conflict. And misperception really showed up for me recently, about a month ago. As, you know, I've shared with you guys, I struggle with health anxiety. You know, I lost both my parents in really what I judge traumatic ways, and my journey forward is always based in their story, in the past. I'm not really able to look at the moment clearly when it comes to stuff that I think are threatening me. And I had this feeling on the side of my tongue. I thought I cut it a bit. I didn't think much of it. It kind of went away, came back. I was like, what is that? So I looked in the mirror, and there's this big white filmy spot on the side of my tongue. I'm like, oh that's interesting. I was really happy with how cool I was with it. So I was like, all right, well, you know, it's time for my dental checkup. It's been 6 months. I'll call the dentist. Call the dentist, you know, they're getting me in 5-6 days. A couple days go by, and I just can't, these energies are just pulling on me, they're gnawing on me. So I go to Dr. Google, and congratulations, I've got cancer. So I freak out. I call the dentist. I'm like, you got to get me in like now. I looked at this. This could be very bad. I think it's leukoplakia. I think, you know, my dad died of jaw cancer. You got to get me in. I was spewing all this. And the woman's like, oh, okay. She's like, yeah, I'll put you on the wait list and maybe you can get in. And so I was like, great, thank you. A couple hours go by. She's like, can you come in? I'm like, yes. Drive myself to downtown Dripping Springs, go in. They look at it. And, you know, the dentist isn't that worried. He's like, it's a good find. I'll set you up with this. The oral surgeon close by, who I've seen before, because I'm always freaking out about stuff. So I called to make an appointment, and of course, he went on vacation just like I did, so there's a 3.5-week lead time. Then I'm like, all right, Finn, all right, you know, time to buck up, time to sit in yourself. You're going to sit here, it's going to be 3 weeks, and you're going to be fine. You're going to sit with this. You're going to sit in your emotion. You're going to sit in the center of the storm, and you're going to weather this. Because I'm trying to bolster my faith. I'm trying to augment it. I'm not trying to widen these neurosynapses, these neurological grooves I've got to make me even more frantic and frayed. So I sit with it. And I was actually pretty good, you know, pretty good. Finally, I went to go see him last week, and he looked at it, and he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm not worried. He's like, it looks like some kind of trauma, and you had an autoimmune reaction. That's what the little growth is. I'm going to give you a steroid cream. Okay. And I was like, trauma. I was like, man, maybe I just speak too harshly. I don't know. It's something I need to look at with my tongue. Like, what's going on? But these are the things we need to look at, the misperceptions. What's the misperceptions we have with our faith? Are we showing up 100%? Do we believe our beliefs, you know? Do we believe in what we say? Or do we just casually spout it off? Do we internalize? Do we take it on a heart level? And I'm glad the specialist couldn't see me. I really am, in hindsight, because I hit my edge. I hit my growth edge. My growth curve expounded. And so when we bump up against these edges, that's when we grow. What's our faith fitness, right? What is our faith fitness? This is not some fly-by-night hobbyist. You know, the people that we admire, the people we look up to, the examples, the Christ consciousness. Myrtle Fillmore, one of the co-founders of this church, she had what I think was deemed, you know, a life-threatening autoimmune disease. They couldn't help her back in the day. And she's like, I refuse to accept it. I'm going to sit in my seat of self, and I'm not going to break my foundation. She wasn't sleeping on her faith. She did it every moment of her day. And in 2 years, she cured herself. And that's what we're looking to do, guys, with our faith. That's what we believe here. Not to be some crazy superhero that can scale buildings, but to be extraordinary. To not be ordinary, to get in touch with this higher consciousness, these higher frequencies. You know, we go inside, we come here to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our spirit, just like someone goes to the gym to get stronger physically. But you don't have any gains if you're doing it once a month. It's a constant commitment. It's a constant presence. Myrtle's husband, Charles Fillmore, said, every person who accomplishes things sees first in their mind what they wish to do. They put away all doubt. It makes no difference how small or how large the thing you want to do may be. If you have an unlimited confidence in your ability to do it, you will do it. There is no ands, ifs, or buts. If you believe fully, you will. Oh, but I need some time from that emotion, time to pick my heart up off the floor. Now is not the time to be with spirit. Now is not the time to be with God. I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm upset with God. He let me down. It let me down. The spirit is not flowing through me. I am detached from the universal flow. So we turn our backs. But no, my loves, that is the time we need to go to God. That is the time we need to be there with it. Job. We all know the story of Job, right? And most of us would agree that he went through personal hell here on this plane. But not once did he curse God. Not once did he lose his faith. He kept on going. He kept on the road. His fitness and faith was strong. But then we make the mistake when things are going our way. Oh, no, my face good. Don't need to work on it. We get complacent. We get lazy. That too is the time to be with faith, to be with spirit. So it's never ending. Things are good. Things are bad. It's a big roller coaster. Stay on the wavelength. Keep going. Keep riding it. God is in all things. And our belief that God and spirit and universe is against us is the improper mind, the false mind at work. It's that conflict that exposes the disconnect of ourselves from this energy field, this life source. From that class, the book, The Eye of the Storm, Gary Simmons says, and I love this, it's so succinct, experiences are metaphors and mirrors of your belief system. And my teacher called the belief system BS. So chew on that one for a second. Mirrors of your belief system. And they serve as feedback to what you are making your life mean. There are portals, breaking and breakthrough points intended to awaken you to your own magnificence. They are not solid, but appear to be so when they are resisted. They have no power in and of themselves, but become powerful when you fear them or make them seem to be against you. They become solid when you attribute something to them. You give them strength. You are the one. You are the I in faith. You are the being in this suit. Let's focus. Let's dedicate ourselves to learning how to operate this thing better. We're just born into it. No one gives you a manual, but that's our job, to keep seeking, to keep looking, to keep acting, to keep believing. And fear is powerful. You know what else is really powerful? Love. It's the opposite end of the spectrum, the vibrational frequency. Fear is the lowest. Love is the highest. So when love comes down without devotion, it takes a strong man, baby. But I'm showing you that door. Right? Spirit is always trying to show us the door. We're the ones that turns away from it. Spirit will give you a window. It'll give you a door when you're just looking at the wall, if you're willing to listen to it, if we get out of our way. You know, it takes a strong person to refute God. It takes a strong mental construct to turn away from that. Because we're all one, the wind, the trees, the breeze, the sun, carbon beings, the earth, our body. You know, what is that fear? What is that? What is that idea of separation? Some people believe that the birth of that is actually the story of the fall in the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam's there, and everything has been provided. Everything's in harmony. And so above and so below. He was in tune with his environment. And the environment hath given him everything he needed. And God comes down. And he's like, my son, what is that around your waist? And, oh, it's a leaf. Why do you have a leaf around there? Because I was naked. Oh. It's that idea of the separation from the whole. The mind, you know, it points out the double-edged sword of free will. Because we're all given free will. You know, we come down here and it's a fallacy to think things are predetermined. No, there are no strings attached. And it can be the hugest benefit or the hugest detriment. It depends on how we use it. Divinity is everywhere, yet we continue to be conditioned by society, by people we look up to, maybe we shouldn't. News sources, it comes down and it tells us to turn away. It tells us we're not enough. It tells us to look externally, to procure that, to get that, to make yourself whole. Everything you need is inside of you. But as much as we have even awakened to this here in our teachings, in our beliefs, we still have times where we lose faith. And that's okay. It's human. Yeah, but creation isn't everything. And we need to be the conduits. We should strive to be the conduits that are awakened to it. Let us be the hollow bone to let things happen not to us, but through us. Divine Spirit is showing us that door constantly. And a lot of times, it's just not what we want it to look like. Things will happen. It's not what we prayed about. It's not what we thought we wanted when we were 20. We haven't let go of that ideology, that desire. You know, I wanted to be a famous actor in L.A., since I was like 16 years old, and I went there, and I worked hard at it. I really wanted it to happen. But reality showed me that that really wasn't in the cards for me. And as I closed that chapter of my life, I really struggled, you know? I thought I wasn't good enough. I thought I wasn't talented enough. Depression, you know, failure entered the chat quite a bit. Because I had such a strong construct of what I wanted Finn to be. I couldn't look at what was transpiring for me. But God had other plans. He had other plans for me. I just couldn't see. And then once I kind of gave in a little bit and loosened the reins, guess what? I get to come up here so much and be in front of you guys. And it is the best gig I've ever had. I'm serious. Thank you. Getting to open my heart up and receive yours on a pretty frequent basis now is more grandiose. It is better than any TV show or film I could even dream up. And I'm being sincere. Thank you. You know, but we don't like that sometimes. But we got to have faith. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Which I say means find answers in the heart. Right? So many times we go here to try to sort things out and we bypass this. And the mind's great. It's great for memorization, organization, directions. Well, I guess there's an app for that now, so we don't have to do that, so we get off the hook for that. But, you know, we go there so often, and we forget. The mind didn't make the spiritual contract. Your soul did. And your soul knows if you trust it. And it's not about being stronger than these energies that pull on us. It's about letting go. It's about letting go and getting quiet. Seeing what's going to be shown to you. You know, I've been pretty honest about my thorns, my hang-ups up here. I don't know how any way else to be. And, you know, last month when this came up on my tongue, I really, you know, a couple days I really struggled. And I found myself sitting in this really icky, nasty energy, and I couldn't get rid of it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go to my studio, I'm going to play guitar. That'll help cure me. So I sit down and start playing. Just wasn't in it, and I haven't had a chance to play much lately, so then I started berating myself for not being good enough, and I was like, well, this is not working out. You know, I need to sit with these feelings as opposed to run away from them. So I unplugged, put the guitar down, and sat down. It's like, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. So I started to meditate. You know, I close my eyes, and I try to get centered. And I'm not, you know, I'm judging it. I'm not able to go deep. And, you know, that's the first problem. Don't do that. Just be. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this message came to me. And I just sat there and it was like crystal clear, stark as day, lightning bolt kind of message. And it said, your son, your oldest son, is your father reincarnated. And you are here to help him figure out what his hang-ups are and your hang-up, to heal the familial trauma and henceforth heal the generational line. Just boom! And I'm not overly woo-woo, at least I haven't been, but I'm starting to become more so. But I swear to you, it was crystal clear as day. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, I'm listening, I'm releasing, I'm listening. Oh my God. I mean, all right, that kind of makes sense from a practical level. You know, he's got the same blue eyes as my dad. He's in the same thing as my dad was. He loves aviation. He wants to be a pilot. All he wants to do is talk about planes. My dad had his pilot's license. He's got the same domineering energy, the desire to be right all the time, to control the situation. I'm like, holy crap. And when he was born, and I judge this is without incident, when he was born, when he came into this world, he came prepackaged with this crazy trauma. Like, you know, I'm not a perfect dad, but I feel like we've given him a pretty sheltered, good life. But like since the day he was born, struggle, fighting, cowering in the corner, night terrors. He won't take baths. He had a hard time taking baths, having water poured over his head. And my dad left this plane with a lot of trauma, a lot of physical trauma. His jaw was falling off from jaw cancer. And so I'm like, oh my God. It kind of makes sense. So I go inside and I'm reeling from all these downloads. I'm like, oh my. I walked past this boat, this wooden sailboat that my wife had purchased at the thrift store. And if any of you know my wife, like thrifting and going to antique stores is her love language. And when she brought it home, I was like, oh, that's a cool boat. What's up? She's like, oh, Ford picked it out. That's my oldest son. And it has this biblical quote on the back of it. And when I walked in, I had this burning desire to know what that quote was. What is that? Jeremiah 33:3. So I went in and I looked it up. This is literally a minute or two after I left the meditation. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. And I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I was like, all right. I hear you. I will never forget this moment for the rest of my life. It's been a turning point for me. I fought and I fought and I fought. And I've struggled with purpose. I've struggled with, like, what am I doing with my life? Sometimes I don't like being a dad. But I'm like, you know what? It makes sense because this time I get to be in charge. I'm the father. I'm the leader. I'm the patriarch. How am I going to wield that power? What am I going to do with it? My dad didn't want to talk about a lot of these things. He kept a lot of things bottled up. But my son, he wants to know. He asks all the time about questions. He's so curious. And a lot of times I shut it down. But no more. I am here to be an open conduit to help heal that line. And if all of us can do that on a small level, we can heal the world. Amen. If we're silent enough, we can hear God's whisper. But for some of us more thick and bullheaded ones, Spirit is kind enough to scream from time to time. So I encourage all of you, when you sit down, if you meditate, or when you get quiet, and you have these huge spiritual pings, or these moments that you deem moments of enlightenment, don't kick it to the curb. Don't say, nah. Don't be like, I need more, show me the burning bush. Don't. Integrate that. Sit with that. Let it sit with you and integrate on a cellular level. When you leave your meditation pillow or wherever you are, go into the world with open eyes. Let it radiate through you. You know, because you got to believe in these things. It's not fake. It's not this mystical. It's real. All this is real. It's a miracle. We're soft technology that has been put here for a reason. And how much you love yourself is how much you love Spirit. How much faith you have in your ability is how much faith you have in Spirit. We're all God. And, you know, these grandiose, huge moments are nice, right? But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. You know, the sun shining down on you, the kiss of a loved one, the birds singing in the morning, that is all God. That is all things that are beautiful. And having faith means you don't need proof anymore. Which then leads us to George Michael's next song, Freedom. I'd like to close out with this Hindu legend that I came across. It was about a time when all humans were gods, but they abused their divinity. And Brahma, the chief god, decided to take it away from them and hide it where they would never find it again. Brahma called a council of the gods to help him decide where to hide the divinity. Let's bury it deep in the earth. But Brahma said, no, no, that will not do. One day they will dig deep in the earth and find it. Then the gods said, let's sink it in the deepest ocean. Again, Brahma replied, no, not there. For they will learn to dive in the deepest waters and search the ocean, and it will be found. Then they said, let's take it to the top of the highest mountain and hide it there. But again, Brahma replied, no, for eventually humans will climb every high mountain on earth. Someday they will find it again. Council was confused and they gave up. He said, we do not know where to hide it, for it seems that humans will scour the earth everywhere. There's no place on earth or sea that they will not go. Brahma thought for a long time and said, here is what we will do with humanity's divinity. We will hide it deep inside humans themselves. Humans will search the whole world, but they will fail to look inside what is already there in their true selves. It's inside of you guys. Never give up faith. Never give up on yourselves. And so it is. All right. Let's take this information and let's not let it go. Let's let it sit with us. Let's breathe it in. I advise you to close your eyes if you're comfortable. Just feel that radiant energy flowing through you. It's in every cell. It's in every fiber. It has no beginning. It has no end. There's no mountain it can't climb. And there's no depths it can't explore. You are the eternal indwelling spirit. You are the co-creators of your life and the co-creators of your world. Now I want you to breathe deeply in all the way to your toenails if you can. And exhale and let that energy rise up your spine all the way to the top of your head, the top of your crown. And I just want you to sit there. And I want you to imagine the brightest, warmest, enveloping, loving light that you can. And I want you to let it give you a big hug. And I want you to know that that is you. That is spirit. That is universe telling you you're here for a reason. You're okay. It's also telling you to keep flowing, to keep going. When times seem tough, go back to this place. You need not to look anywhere else but beside, inside yourself. You can do and be anything you want. I don't care what's happened. Right now is the time to start having loving kindness for yourself. Because what is inward will come out outward. And it will shoot as far as you will let it. You'll never know the impact of the goodness your being has on people. Just know that it does. And know that it is always noble. It is always right to seek the light. But the light would not exist without darkness. So wherever you go, remember that duality. And remember that love is the highest form of energy. You are love. We are one. We are God. Take in one more breath. Inhale all the possibility that you possess. And exhale and sink into that. Sink into that goodness. I love you all, and so it is.
Hi, everybody. You okay? Thank you. That was wonderful.